Blog Talk Radio.
One day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first edition of Keeping It Real with Antonio Whatley. My name is Tony Whatley, and I start this show by playing Martin Luther King and I Have a Dream. The reason why I play this is because in Mr. King's dream, he talks about how we all come together and how we all be one in this great nation of ours. And I sit here tonight to tell you that's bullshit. Why? Because there's always going to be that somebody that don't want to be in us. There's always going to be that somebody that only wants to be in I, that only cares for him or herself, that only wants to help him or herself, that only cares about their family and don't care about your family, that will take from you to make themselves better. There's always going to be though someone that is going to divide instead of unite. And because there's always going to be that someone that's going to divide instead of not unite, let's keep it real. We are never going to truly have the United States of America. Why? Because we are never going to truly see all as one. And tonight, we are going to get into some subjects that prove this. We are going to talk about some things that when we talk about them, you will clearly see that in this country, it doesn't matter what the subject is, you're always going to have the knucklehead. You're always going to have that person that only sees for themselves, and no matter how much you're trying to unite, they are going to try to divide. Why? Because it's all about them, and they don't give a shit about you. So, as I'm talking about these subjects, and I'm telling you how I feel about these subjects, I want you to call me, and I want you to keep it real with me. If you think what I'm saying is full of shit, call me and tell me it's full of shit. Because you know what? If you call and I don't like what you're saying, I'm going to tell you you're full of shit. For you Bible thumpers, this ain't church. So if you come on here to preach and talk about God, the best thing for you to do is just listen and enjoy the conversation or wait till Sunday. Because tonight we keeping it real. And we are saying what we want to say, how we want to say it. And if it offends you, then either you can just listen or you can keep it pushing. Because we're going to keep it real on Keeping It Real with Tony Whiteley. We're going to begin with the subject of gun control. Gun control is the subject that truly divides this country. I don't know what side of it you are on, but I want you to know the side that I'm on. And I'm on the side that in 1776, or actually it was later on like 1850s, when the Second Amendment was added to the Constitution, where it said all citizens have the right to bear arms, there were two very distinct reasons that this was said. Those two very distinct reasons was, one, at that time, the United States of America did not have an established military. There was no Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, so forth and so on. At that time, we did not have a real established military. And because we did not have a real established military, the people who lived in this country said, we need to be able to form militias. Militias mean that the citizens of this country can come out of their homes, come out of their aprons, grab a gun out of the closet, and go and fight for this country. That's what a militia was. That's what a militia was set up for. It wasn't set up for you crazy crackheads that are running around in your camouflage out in the woods playing war games. That is not what a militia was for. A militia was set up because we did not have a way of defending ourselves officially, so that every single man, woman, and child was set to have a gun and be able to come out of their house and defend themselves just in case of an enemy. Exactly the way we did during the Revolutionary War. We were not an official army. We were a bunch of people that did not want to be with England anymore. And because we did not want to be with England anymore, we came together, we took the guns that we had, and we fought England. And we said, we don't want to be a part of you anymore. We were a militia, an organized group of people with guns. And that is why the founders of this country set up the idea of the Second Amendment. We need everybody to have a gun just in case we need to go to war against someone or someone comes against us. We can quickly form a militia, a unit together of everyday people, and go and defend ourselves. All you crazy people that are saying that the purpose for the Second Amendment was to have guns to fight your government. If they were having guns to fight your government, don't you think there wouldn't be a government today? Think about it. The United States of America back then was 13 states. If back then they couldn't control your government, you don't think they can, they're able to control your government now? You got 50 states. If they were worried about your government then, now it's ridiculous. This argument you guys are having about, oh, I need my gun to protect me from my government, I promise you, there ain't a gun in your closet that if your government came for you today, you would be able to stop them. I guarantee it. Ask all them people over in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other places that are getting killed right now with all their guns in their closet, and then that drone comes and blows your whole building up. You can forget about that gun saving you from your government. But the bottom line about gun control that we are having in the 21st century, in 2012, is automatic weapons. That's our fight. Our fight right now is the idea that I need to own weapons of war. An automatic weapon is a weapon that comes from the World War I, World War II era. Before World War I, World War II, there was no such thing as an automatic weapon. What happened was after the United States got out of war and all of these companies saw that the military war machine made them hundreds of millions of dollars, they didn't want to lose that revenue just because the war stopped. For them, they wanted to keep making that money. It wasn't about your Second Amendment of rights. It was about their greed to keep making money. So what did they do? They said, since the war and these soldiers don't need these guns, in America, we have the right to bear arms. So why don't we start selling these war guns to everyday people? Now, back when this happened, back in the early 30s, 40s, 50s, everyday people thought that was crazy. The only people you saw with those type of guns were the gangsters and the gangster movies and all of that stuff. That's where you saw those types of guns. It wasn't really the most profitable thing to do. But the more that they sold them, the more crackpots decided they needed to protect themselves against the bad guys. The bad guys have automatic weapons, so I should have automatic weapons. You're automatically stupid. Why? Because how many people are getting broke into and use Uzis to steal your earrings and your ring off your finger? Not many. Yes, you hear in these big cities where two or three gang members broke into somebody else's gang house and shot them up. Well, they went in there because they knew there was going to be several people with guns in the house, and if they broke in, as soon as they break in, they got to be ready to kill a lot of people quick. They didn't break into Grandma Susie's house and need to split her in half with an Uzi. So this whole concept of, oh, my God, I need an Uzi to protect myself from Uzis, is a doozy. It's crazy. It makes no sense, and you know it. Now, before I keep going on, I want you to call me. Tell me what you think about what I just said to you about gun control. Tell me how you feel about Uzis, how you feel about the Second Amendment. Tell me how you feel about what's going on in America. The number to call is 347-237-5539. Again, that number is 347-237-5539. Call in and weigh in and keep it real on gun control. While you're calling, I'm going to play a clip. Gun control. And I want to take this moment to just give you some real facts about guns. This is not facts that I say just because it's how I feel. These are facts that are documented over years of research and study. Handguns are 43 times more likely to kill a member of your own family than an intruder. One more time. Handguns are 43 more times likely to kill a member of your own family than an intruder. Having a gun in your home significantly increases your own personal risk of death. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Handguns and guns in your home are not making you safer. In actuality, just by having that gun in your home, you are making yourself less safe. Not only are you making yourself less safe, you're making a gun available to other people who come into your home to kill you. If a burglar breaks into your home and doesn't, you know, all burglars don't break in with guns. Come on, people. Let's keep it real. But if he does break in and you come home and he's in your closet, Where do you usually keep your gun? In your drawer, in your closet, somewhere near all of those things that burglar is looking to steal, right? Looking through drawers, looking through closets, looking through places. What is he going to find? A gun. So if you come home in the middle of him doing that, the odds are it's you that's going to get shot by your own gun more than it is that burglar. Because 9 times out of 10, a burglar is not going to break into your home while you are in it. Again, let's get back to some real statistics. like I said before, having a gun in your home significantly increases your risk of death and that of your spouse and your children. Why? Because more accidental deaths happen in the home from a child getting a hold of a gun, you know, a spouse getting into a fight with another spouse and one of the spouses grabbing the gun and shooting the other person out of rage. All kinds of crazy things happen when you have a gun in the house that has nothing to do with crime. Absolutely nothing to do with crime. Absolutely nothing to do with a stranger at all. And speaking of strangers, we can go down and start looking at some evidence about how strangers work. Before we go there, I'm going to keep going down these statistics that I found. Oh, by the way, for you people who have to know the exact place that these things come from, this was a meta review published in 2011 by David Hemingway, and he is the director of the Harvard Injury Control Research Center. And all of these are proven facts and statistics about guns. This research shows that there is no credible evidence that having a gun in your house reduces your risk of being a victim of crime. Again, just because you have a gun in your house does not mean that you are less likely to have a gun. I mean, to be a victim of a crime. We have a caller on the line. Hold on. Caller, keep it real.
Is that me?
That's you.
Okay. Okay, this show is called Keeping It Real. So,
yes, it
so
is.
Here's my take on it. The people who these people are aware of not as far as the exact statistics as the way you speak it, but they have an idea that what you're saying makes a lot of sense. But these people want the people that are really fighting against, like having the bans on these magazines over 10, the holes over 10 bullets, that sort of thing. They feel that they have their guns to protect themselves against some evil runaway government, and also against minorities, because they feel that these minorities and the government is all in cahoots to overthrow the white supremacy.
And so you think this is about racism?
It's 100% about racism, because countries that are whose demographics are such that they're pretty much the same race and don't have the history that we have, they have no problems with not having guns. But these people feel guilty. They know that they took the land at the point of a gun. Everything that we have here, not everything, but the basis of everything that we have in America is based on, at the tip of a gun, killing, mass murdering people and taking their land and enslaving them or running them off or walking them 1,000 miles from Florida to Oklahoma like Andrew Jackson. And there's a guilt and a fear of knowing that much of your gains are ill-gotten. And they're thinking that, well, if it was me, if the shoe was on the other foot, I know how I feel. And so they think, they don't understand the cultural difference. They think that minorities and African Americans, for example, have that same sort of mentality that all of a sudden African Americans are going to jump up and start mass killing if they could, like the way they did. But there's no reasonable explanation. They think, if you listen to Glenn Beck and those people all the time, they think that someone is going to come and storm their house and take their stuff and rape their daughters. So they're just a paranoid group of hateful people, and that's the reason why they
so
can't
you saying,
do without guns.
You saying they think there's a black boogeyman?
Absolutely.
Wow. That's interesting. That's an interesting perspective. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can get somebody to come in and talk to you about that or see their perspective. All right, this young man has just said that he thinks, from his keeping it real perspective, that it's all racist, that white folks are scared that now that the minorities have started becoming the majority, the white folks are just scared that all of a sudden they losing their power. So how do they want to go about taking it back? They want to take their guns and take it back. What do you think about that? If you agree with him, call in and tell us you agree with him. If you think he's full of shit, call in and keep it real and tell that nigga to shut his mouth. Hold on while we take a quick break.
White nation and the hateful ones of them They still have that. You wonder why would these people plot and plan this sort of thing? They live with guns. That's their thing. That's how they got everything they want. So they're out there doing their paintball practicing and their militia practicing, and they're ready, and they really want to start something, but they can't. And the drones just makes it worse.
Who are they starting against? Who are you saying that these nut jobs are starting there wanting to start this against? You know, who are the dum-dums trying to fight?
Well, the first thing they want to fight is the United States government. See, they want to have enough power. See, they're too stupid to realize. It's just like I was on Facebook maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago talking about how, because they say, well, the Second Amendment is to protect us against a runaway or far-reaching, overreaching government. You can protect yourself when the jackbooted government thugs come to your house. What they're talking about is military personnel, and AR-15s are not going to protect you in your home against the United States military. Any branch of military guys, when they come out with their heavy automatic weapons, if they come to your house, your AR-15 with a semi-automatic is not gonna do the job, and they have sense enough to know that. But they're so filled with hate that they're not calculating. But they want to fight. They say the Second Amendment is to protect them against a runaway government. The government has too much power, too much firepower. What are you gonna do? You're gonna fight off a platoon of National Guard guys, you, your wife, and your kid. You know what I mean? So all that.
Right. I'm going to put you on hold a second and go through some more of these stats, and then we'll get back to you, okay? Hold on.
Great.
Keep listening. The one thing I like about that young man is you don't have to agree with him, but he came on this show, and he's keeping it real about how he feels. And that's what I want you to do. If you're listening and you think what he's saying is a crock of shit, come on here and tell him he's a crock of shit. Keep it real. We are talking about real things that are going on in this country, and we are talking about how we feel about those real things going on in these countries, or in this country. For example, let's get back to some of these statistics about guns. My issue, again, is the fact that we keep using all these crazy things about how guns protect us and we need guns for our protection and guns are what protects us and it's our right to be protected, when in actuality, all the statistics show that a gun in the home makes you less safe than it makes you more safe. So that this whole idea that you are more protected because you have a gun in a home is literally a lie that has been sold to you by the NRA and sold to you by the gun lobby. Because in actuality, you are less safe with a gun in your house than you are without one. Because without one, you can't die from one. Think about it. Now, let's get back to some of these Harvard Injury Control Research Center statistics. Death certificate data indicates that 680 Americans were killed accidentally with guns every year between the years 2003 and 2008. Half of those were people under the age of 25. 680 deaths from accidental gunshots, and more than half of those were under the age of 25. Children aged 5 to 14 in the United States are 11 times more likely to die from an accidental gunshot wound than children in all other developed countries. These are real statistics, ladies and gentlemen. This is not me pandering to you. This is real statistics of real things that have happened in your country that you swear your gun is protecting you from. An average of 46 Americans committed suicide with guns each day. One more time. An average of 46 Americans committed suicide with guns each day from 2003 to 2008. Every single day, people took the guns they used to protect themselves and killed themselves. 46 Americans a day took the very gun that was there to protect them to kill themselves. In fact, more Americans killed themselves with gun during 2003 through 2007 than all other methods combined. So, when it came to people committing suicide, when it comes to people committing suicide, with all the other ways you can commit suicide combined, taking a gun and putting it in your mouth, putting it to your head, putting it to your heart, that's the way people have used it. So that gun you think is keeping you so safe, it's the one thing that could be actually killing you. Let's get back to phones. We have a caller. Hold on. Talk to me, caller. Keep it real.
Hey, how's it going, Tony? This is Mike Brewer. I'm calling from California. I got to disagree with, you know, a couple of things you're saying here. When you look at somebody committing suicide, if somebody wants to commit suicide, they're going to commit suicide no matter what. You know, if the method is a gun, whether it's pills, you know, slitting their wrists, hanging themselves, that, you know, that's something they're going to do. And, you know, as a gun owner myself, I can look at both sides of, you know, the equation of, you know, people talk about gun control. You know, here in California, we have the strictest gun control in the country, and that's done nothing to stop crime. You look at Washington, D.C., they're the only place that has it stricter than us where you can't even own a gun, and gun crimes have went up 300% since they enacted those laws. So, you know, when people try to say, you know, you need gun control, you can spout stats, you know, going either way. You know, basically what it is you need more control over people. You know, people were more, you know, educated about guns and learned how to respect guns. I think that would lower, you know, at least some of the accidental, you know, shootings that you were talking about and learn, you know, better safety regulations. Now, when you deal with crime is crime. Criminals aren't going to go, okay, I'm not allowed to have a gun. I'm not going to use a gun.
Let's keep it real. Let's think about what I just said to you about 50 people, basically, give or take, 50 people a day using a gun to commit suicide, okay? Let's keep it real. Where'd they get the gun? If it wasn't for them having the access to the gun, yes, I totally agree with you. They might find another way, because if you want to kill yourself, you're going to kill yourself. I give you that. But you know what? When you put a bullet through your head, ain't no way of coming back. You can take a drug overdose and somebody can find you and take you to the hospital. You can jump off a bridge and you might not die when you hit the water. Somebody can pick you up and take you out. You can run in front of a car, but it might not kill you. You can do a lot of things that you think are committing suicide and you might not die. But when you put that bullet in your head, you're on your way to hell.
But once
because
again, though, that's,
we all
like I
know,
said, that's semantics. If I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to kill myself. Nothing's going to
okay,
stop. I'm not going to go,
is,
okay, you saved
there
me.
There are a lot of people that
feel
want to kill themselves that don't succeed. But there's nobody that puts a gun to their head that wants to kill themselves that don't succeed.
Well, I mean,
if
that's like
a gun
I said, that's
trigger,
semantics. I mean, I know many people. There are many people that have had gun, you know, gun-related injuries and you know, try to commit suicide with guns that have survived. I mean, the quality of life might not be the same, but
now,
it's not going to be the same if you drown yourself either. Yeah.
Oh, if you're trying to get attention and you shoot yourself, then that's one thing. But if you are trying to commit suicide, there's no way to miss. gun to the temple, you're dead. Now, if you go shooting yourself in the arm, shooting yourself in the shoulder, shooting yourself in the jaw, then of course you're not going to die. You didn't really want to die to begin with. Let's keep it real. You were just trying to get some attention from somebody. But if you really want to die, you put that gun to your temple and pull the trigger, you will not see another second. So those people who survived gunshot wounds survived it because they really weren't trying to die to begin with. They were
I can flip my wrist and sit in my bathtub and get the same type of death on my body, you know.
Yeah, but you might not die. You might not die. But I promise you, you put a gun to your temple and pull the trigger, you are going to die. There is no if, ands, or buts about that.
If I'm
going to
kill myself, I want to kill myself. That can't be used as gun safety. When you talk about gun safety, you have to talk about people that don't want to harm themselves.
Not about gun safety. This is about gun control. We are talking about automatic weapons.
How many of these suicides that you just said have been committed with automatic weapons? I can guarantee you it's going to be zero.
No. I'm just going through the statistics that I was going through are just gun in the home statistics. As far as the idea of that is,
well, we're talking about control automatic weapons. How many?
We have guns.
But you're talking about automatic weapons. Does it show the statistic? Does it show how many of those crimes or injuries were committed with automatic weapons? It's almost impossible to shoot yourself with an automatic weapon. So
The suicide, the gun control argument that we are having in America right now is about automatic weapons. I was having statistics about gun in the house. I'm trying to address all of the issues with guns. And one of the first issues you have with a gun is people say, I have a gun in my house to protect me and keep me safer, where the statistics show you are actually less safe with a gun in your house than you are without a gun in your house. That was the purpose of that statistic.
Okay,
I don't have
break,
to argue
so
with you
that,
about
that.
It's a proven fact.
Let's break down that statistic, though. So you mean to tell me if somebody's breaking into my house and they have a gun, I'm more likely to be killed by them if I have a gun than if I don't?
Come on now. How many people break into your house while you in it?
Plenty. That happens plenty of times.
Where the hell do you live? In Compton with the Crips and the Blood?
Everybody don't live in the sunny suburbs.
It is not
that's
a damn
everyday.
Are you kidding? That does not happen.
What if I live in Chicago? What if I live in
Miami?
What if I live
in
New York?
While you're there?
Are you serious?
It doesn't happen unless it's somebody
serious?
You know. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on down my list of things, and after I do that, me and you can talk. Hold on.
Okay, hold on. One second.
All right, since we got Mr. Know-It-All, let's go ahead and finish what the statistics say about guns. I don't have to argue with someone that thinks they know every damn thing. I can just give you the proof. The proof is in the pudding. I don't have to argue with you about what you think. I can show you what the statistics say. The statistics say that 2/3 of all murders in America between 2003 and 2008 were committed with guns. The statistics say children in the U.S. get murdered with guns at a rate of 13 times higher than other developed nations. For kids that are between the age of 15 and 24, the rate goes up to 43 times higher than all the other developed nations. Statistics show that fewer than 30% of burglaries in America, one more time, caller, fewer than 30% of burglaries in America occur when someone is in the home. All of this, if somebody breaks in and they've got a gun, you need to have a gun. Well, don't nobody break in when they know you're at home. Fewer than 30% of burglaries in America happen when someone is at home.
And then it says in 7% of the burglaries, when violence occurs, the burglar is more likely to be an intimate, current, or former relative or acquaintance, and not a stranger. So it's a situation of where when someone breaks into your home and they know you're there, it's because they know you and you know them. This whole stranger danger, somebody's going to break into your house and kill you and hurt your kids, it's bull. It is not the truth. So what do you want to say about that, caller?
I mean, you're 90% more likely to be murdered by somebody. So what does that mean? Did you know? So what does that mean? That means
answer the question. What do you want to say about that?
I said you're 90% more likely to be killed by somebody you know. So what does that mean?
Okay, that's wonderful that you have that statistic to throw at me, but you're still not answering my question. You want to say that you need a gun because you got to be scared of somebody breaking in your house with a gun and killing you. Well, why you got to be scared when the statistics say that don't happen? And when it does happen, it's somebody you know. So you going to trust that person when they come in your house anyway?
Statistics say that doesn't happen? That's not what the statistics said. You said it was one-third of the times that it happened that somebody wasn't home or that somebody was home.
No, I said the person is
home
and it's someone that they know.
Okay, does it show me those crimes resulted in violence?
The bottom line is the statistics show that it's not strangers breaking into your house and killing you. Not more than likely, if somebody breaks into your house while you are there and harms you, it's somebody you know. So if they came into your house, they'd harm you anyway because you aren't suspecting them to be there to hurt you.
Nothing to do with gun control.
Okay. 727, what do you think about this conversation?
I'm not 727?
Yes, you are.
Okay, all right. First off, see, the statistics shows the facts. And that shows that these people are disconnected with what's going on. They're so in love with something. There's a psychiatrist could deal with it more so than you could by stating these facts. Now, then the thing about the suicide, I just want to point on that. That same gun that a person used thought about using on himself, that can easily be used on someone else and be proposed be a danger to someone else. So guns are dangerous. Now, as far as D.C. and Chicago, see, I hear the right-wingers talk about that all the time. The reason why is because guns come from the outside where they're legal into those areas where it's illegal. If the guns could not come from the outside into Chicago or into D.C., then they would not have the crime that they speak of. So all of these are really weak arguments. This is what I would do if I was a white person, and I know many of them do. And they just sit back and just think, say, man, you know, my cousin in the UK. I mean, they don't have this problem. They don't have this guilt. Man, it would have been nice if only we could have just gotten this country without killing people and enslaving people. Then I wouldn't be so damn stressed out about this. Then I wouldn't be so crazy. But there's a lot of white people who don't have that fear because they don't have that hate within them. And they know that they can forgive. And then so they know that they know that minorities are not out to go and kill white folks or use the government to take their stuff. See, you look at Cuba and all the socialist revolutions, that's what happened. But it happened to such a small few people. But but what they've been able to do is enlist the lesser income white people, enlist them with the demagoguery of of other people. So these stats of African Americans and Mexicans, whatever, and so because of Mexico, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, California, all that was Mexico. So it's a great deal, but not wanting to stray off the subject. I'm just saying that to say that this is the reason why the stats that you give and the reality of what they're experiencing in life is one thing, but where they are because of their fear that has not been addressed, that it would take a good shrink. So maybe get Frazier's brother and Bob Newhart and sit down, and then you have to talk that they have to be healed of that madness to make them run around loving this.
All right, let's keep moving because we've only got 10 more minutes in this segment. I want to end this segment by discussing a few more of those stats and then letting the gentleman from California say his part and keep it real in his side. First and foremost, I ended the last time by saying that 7% of burglaries, when violence does occur, the burglar is more likely to be an intimate, current, or former, and also more likely to be a relative or known acquaintance than a stranger. So this whole idea that some big, bad boogeyman stranger is going to come and rob me at gunpoint in my house is just bull. It is the way that them ADPs and all of those other security companies go about making you have fear so that you will go and buy their product. There are people today around this country, lots of people, that sleep every day with their doors unlocked, that go to bed at night with their windows open. Why? Because in reality, people don't just go breaking into other people's house while they're there, stealing and killing. That does not happen. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen at all, but as a majority, only 7% of burglaries have a violence in them. 7%. And more likely, when those burglaries are from violence, it's from someone you know. So this whole idea that some man in a mask and gloves is going to break into your house with a gun and shoot you is crazy. The last point I want to make on that is the last statistic, and it says, although people typically spend more of their times at home, only 5% of all crimes of violence perpetrated by strangers occur in the home. One more time, 5% of all violence that occurs by strangers happen in your home, which means you are 95% safe in your home. 95% safe in your home. If you are 95% safe in your home, why do you need a gun? Why do you need a gun in your home if statistics show you are 95% safe? Talk to me, California. Keep it real with me. Why do you need a gun in your home if you are 95% safe?
One, that's an inflated. That you're interpreting that statistic wrong. First, I want to address the gentleman that was talking before. He said that the reason that D.C. and Chicago have gun problems is because guns come from outside. That can be said for anything. Guns, drugs, anything. So that means nothing to me to say they can't. If you have an area, yes, if you have an area where there's no guns at all, there's going to be no gun crime. So I mean, what does that mean? If there were no guns at all, I would be totally in favor for gun control if nobody had guns. But if I know that there are people out there that have guns and that are into doing bad things, I'm going to have a gun to protect myself. Criminals aren't going to Walmart and the Big Five. Oh, let me go get this 357. I got to go rob this liquor store or go carjack this guy. They're getting these guns illegally.
Okay.
Fast and Furious program for this government, the Fast and Furious program for this government just now put guns in the hands of Mexican criminals that killed Americans.
Your argument is you need a gun because bad guys got a gun?
Yes. Bad guys,
okay.
It's not only bad guys.
Hold on.
Let me finish. It's not only bad guys either. I need guns because the Second Amendment says that I have a gun to defend myself against tyranny. I'm from Oakland, California. Black Panthers, they had to arm themselves to protect themselves from police. They were supposed to be protecting them. They weren't. They were abusing it. I don't know where you're from or where that gentleman was from, but that's where I look at all these documentaries, Emmett Till, all these people that were abused in Mississippi in the 60s. I'm not going to let no band of men come in my house and take my 13-year-old grandson or whoever else and hang him and mutilate him if I'm armed. It's not going to happen.
With that stupid argument, I want to ask you a question. Where are the Black Panthers today?
They were destroyed by the government. COINTELPRO.
Exactly. The government kicked their ass. Exactly. You're sitting here talking about the Black Panthers had their guns to protect their rights.
And they infiltrated them and influenced
Michael Caine
into our community.
You
need to educate yourself on that before you speak on it. They infiltrated them with spies and influenced Michael Caine into our community in an attempt to destroy them.
It don't matter how they did it. They did it. The point is, you want to talk about you want to stop tyranny when the government wants to get you.
So your argument is that you can't defeat them, so just go ahead and let them do it.
My argument is this is my show. And the bottom line is, you want to argue that the Black Panthers is your example of fighting tyranny. And I want to tell you, the Black Panthers got their ass kicked by the government. That's why you don't see the Black Panthers today. So if that's your argument and that's your example of you and Americans beat the government, then you fail. That is the end of this subject. So when we come back, we are going to discuss Trayvon Martin. I'll be back in 1 minute. Tonight. But before we do, I'd like to give a shout out to a few people. First and foremost, I want to thank Blog Talk Radio for allowing this show to be on the air. Secondly, I want to thank the Mathis and Raymond Foundation for allowing me the time under their organization to present this show to you. The Mathis Raymond Foundation is a nonprofit organization that deals in a lot of social, health, and educational things around Florida that helps a lot of people. They donate to great organizations, they donate to great situations and issues.
They are very adamant in doing the right thing and being there and being the good guy. And I want to thank the Mathis Raymond Foundation for allowing me to be a part of their organization. I also want to give a shout out to all of you who have decided to join me, even if you don't call in, if you're just listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there for me. Those who are calling in, I thank you too, and I want you to keep it real with me. If you are listening and I say something you don't like, I want you to call me at 347-237-5539. Again, that is 347-237-5539. And don't hold your tongue. If you got something to say, say it. If I don't like it, I'll just hang up on you. But at least you got to say it, didn't you? Anyway, we're going to go into our next topic. This past week marked the one-year anniversary of a 17-year-old kid named Trayvon Martin, who was visiting his father at his house in a gated community when he went to the store from his father's house. He bought him some Skittles and a tea. He was walking back to his father's house, and he had on a hoodie. A young man riding in his car coming into the community as the young boy or the teenager was walking into the community sees the young boy walking in his hoodie and decides that this young boy looks, again, that's the key word that he used here. This young boy looks like he's up to something. Now, that right there, just in that self, makes me mad. Because that 17-year-old boy wasn't doing a damn thing to nobody. He was walking from the store to his father's house, and this racist bitch comes up, calls 911, and says, I see a black man in my neighborhood, and that looks suspicious. Why does a black man in your neighborhood look suspicious? But that can't be a legal or illegal thing. That's only straight out racism. So we'll keep moving. The man named George Zimmerman drives on through his neighborhood, calls 911 and says, I see a black man in my neighborhood that looks suspicious. The cops tell him, sir, we need you to stay in your car, and we will send a patrolman out there. One more time, ladies and gentlemen, they say, stay in your car, and we will send someone out there. The facts show that from the time they told him to stay in your car and a police officer showed up was less than 10 minutes. When the cops got there, was he in his car? No. He was around the corner, down an alley, and there was that black kid laying on the ground dead. The cops asked him, what happened? And he says, the kid attacked me. I defended myself, and I shot him. What'd the cops do? They didn't seal off the crime scene. They didn't call in the CIS crime scene investigation. It wasn't a damn crime to them. You know what they did? They called the morgue, and they let Zimmerman go home. All he had to do was say, hey, I was defending myself, standing my ground, I shot him, he's dead. They look down, they see a black man in a hoodie, so they did the same damn thing that Zimmerman did when he drove in the house or drove into the community. They racially profiled this little boy. And because this man said that this little boy was a crook and hurting him, when they looked down and they saw a black man, they just automatically agreed. So they leave and let Zimmerman leave, and they call the morgue. They don't call no crime scene investigators. They don't make it a crime scene. They just pick this little black boy up and take him to the morgue. They go, he sits in the morgue 2 or 3 days before his parents even know where he's at. Why? Because there was no crime committed in their eyes. But then they start going through what little evidence is left because they didn't properly handle the scene. And they realize that what this man is saying and what they're finding ain't adding up. Because when they let this man go, he didn't have a broken nose. When they let this man go, he didn't have no bruises and blood coming out of his head. But 2 days later, when they go back to him to investigate, all of a sudden he's got pictures of a broken nose. He's got pictures of all these bruises in his head. Whereas they didn't take none of those pictures that night. Matter of fact, they showed him going into the interview into the police station right after it happened, and you don't see a bloody nose. You don't see a busted head. You don't see blood nowhere. But yet, a day later, when they know he's about to take his ass to jail for killing somebody, his daddy, who is a retired Supreme Court judge in Virginia, a retired white Supreme Court judge, he knows the law. He's been doing the law all his life. He calls his dad and says, Dad, I've killed somebody, but I call it self-defense. What is his dad going to tell him to do? You better get some pictures of that self-defense. Call your brother. Call your best friends. Let somebody hit you in the nose, slam your head a couple of times, and take some pictures of it. Because there was only 2 people in that alley that night, him and that kid. And that kid is dead. So whatever he says has to be what ends up being the truth, or so he thinks. But the problem is, when he called 911, he said too much. He gave away too much information. And while he was out there stalking that little boy, other people were calling 911. And it's amazing how other people are calling 911, and in the background you hear, help, 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 pow. And you don't hear help no more. You don't hear help another time. Now, I say to you, America, if you are the person with the gun, think about it. Put yourself in this situation right now. You're the person with the gun. You are afraid that somebody is trying to hurt you. You are the one screaming help, 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 to the point of where you get so scared, you shoot them. The second you shoot them, do you stop screaming help? Hell no. If you really are screaming for somebody to come out there to help you, and you're the one screaming help, even after you shoot them, you're still going to say, help. Can somebody come out here and help? Why? Because it ain't about him aggressing towards you anymore. If you really are looking for help, you want medical people there. You want emergency people there. You want official people there. So if you were the one originally screaming help to begin with, you'd have still been screaming help. But do you notice how help stopped as soon as you heard the gunshot? Why? Because it was not George Zimmerman screaming help. It was Trayvon Martin screaming for his life because George Zimmerman was trying to kill him, and he did. So I take the side that George Zimmerman is a racist who used his racist bias and his racist stereotyping to kill this young man, and because he knew nobody else was out there, he thought he was going to be able to get away with it. What do you think? Because I know there's some of you out there that don't agree with me. I still got my callers from California and my callers from Florida on the line. I'm going to go to Florida. Florida, what do you think?
Well, as far as Zimmerman is concerned, I saw something that was a bit impressive, which is pressure. I remember the Black Panthers were the one that put the $1 million reward and came down to Sanford. And that reminded me that the Black Panthers are alive and well, but it was Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement and that caused the government capitulating is what made the Black Panthers not expand. But they're always there. But as far as going on with Zimmerman, the first thing I thought about was exactly what you were saying, because after pulling the trigger, even if you didn't say help, there would be something. There would be some sort of a exclamation or a slight yell or scream, because the adrenaline is still pumping, and it seems as if you got the shot off. You're not sure 100% that this person is hit or that this person is incapacitated. You're not 100% sure of that. So why would you stop yelling as if you know, everything's under control with the exact sound of the gun? But everybody, the voice analyzer person said it was 98% chance it was not George Zimmerman, and that, all that's been swept on the rug now. But they did the voice analysis, and of course, the racists wanted to begin to undermine that. But that's always there, and that's just common sense. And you would not just walk away. You know, I just want to say that. Once you pull that trigger,
let me get to another caller real quick. Caller, keep it real with me.
Yeah, I'm on.
Go ahead.
Okay. One of my rare instances, I'm gonna agree with you. That crime, it made me sick to my stomach because, you know, I'm guessing, you know, most black, you know, young black men, we've been in situations, you know, similar, not to where it's gone to this extent, but, you know, to where we've been profiled. And my thing is, just, you know, it's just sad that if he would have just left this man alone, he interjected himself into Trayvon's life and then ended it. You know, if he would have just left it, you know, even if he would have let the police do what they were supposed to do, you know, that kid would have made it home that night. And
exactly.
You know, and it just made me sick to my stomach. Now, I don't want to harp on anything, but like I said, you mean to tell me that you don't think you would have had the right to defend yourself in any means necessary against George Zimmerman?
I think that I had the right to defend myself? Help me understand.
Well, we previously, you know, I know we're in a news topic, but previously we had the gun control topic. And you said you don't see why somebody would need a gun. And I'm saying, so you don't think that he would have had the right to defend himself against George Zimmerman with a gun?
No, the point is, had George Zimmerman not had the laws in Florida to be able to take a damn gun, take it into a private space, stand your ground, even if you don't feel like you're being threatened, and shoot somebody and get away with it, that is murder, and he has the opportunity to get away with it. If it wasn't for the gun laws, he wouldn't have had that gun to be in that damn situation.
He would have had it anyway, though. The gun laws, what he did was illegal. What he did was illegal. If you're going to commit a crime, a law is not going to stop you from committing it.
As far as the law of Florida is concerned, is not illegal. Because
I understand that, but I'm saying in general, when somebody commits a crime, they're not paying attention to gun laws, right?
He wasn't committing a crime. What crime was he committing?
I'm talking about in general, though. I'm talking about in general.
Okay, but we are talking about this case. George Zimmerman did not see himself as committing a crime.
But if it happened to you, wouldn't you want to have a gun to defend yourself against Zimmerman?
No, no. Why? Because I shouldn't need a gun to defend myself to go
you
from the store to my damn house.
You shouldn't. That's the point. You shouldn't, but you do. This ain't a perfect world, so you shouldn't, but you do.
So we need to go back to cowboys and Indians where everybody holds a gun on their side?
Man, hey, hey. Would Trayvon still be alive? Maybe if George Zimmerman knew that he had a gun and wasn't afraid to shoot him dead as well?
Wow.
I'm asking
Ladies
you just,
and gentlemen, did you just hear what this man said to you? This man said we need to go back to Gunsmoke. We need to go back to the time when everybody walked around with a damn gun on their side, and all you had to do was look at somebody cockeyed, and all of a sudden, I want to fight you in the middle of the street. That is absolutely ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous to say that what happened to Trayvon Martin could have went different if Trayvon Martin had a gun. I disagree. It doesn't matter whether Trayvon Martin had a gun or just George Zimmerman had a gun. The bottom line, if they both had guns, somebody still was coming out of that damn cul-de-sac dead. So this is not a gun argument. Again, the argument we are having here right now is whether George Zimmerman is guilty of murder or whether George Zimmerman is innocent because he was standing his ground. That's what this argument is about right now, and that is what we are going to discuss. Is he guilty of murder or is he innocent because he was standing his ground? I want you to call in. I want you to tell me whether you think he was guilty or tell me whether you think he was innocent. The number is 347-237-5539. Again, the number is 347-237-5539. We are going to take another quick minute break, and after we come back, we will get back to our call.
Approaching
Trayvon, he claims, and we don't know what was the distance when Trayvon turned around. What distance were they? He never speaks about the distance. Were they? Did he turn around because they were 55, 60 feet away, or was he 3 or 4 feet away? So it's clearly he hunted down an unarmed man, and he shot him. And what hangs him, and what makes it so that this would be beyond a reasonable doubt, is the fact that he admitted that he shot him. People know that he's the one that pulled the trigger. And the dispatcher, this really is a police officer in a way, has the power and authority to speak as a police officer. So when you go to court and you have a deal with legality, this person that represents the police department and that authority that's in charge of protecting and serving and crime control told him not to follow. Once he followed, he has broken the protocol. He's given up all legal rights to stand your ground. Unless Trayvon was approaching him at that moment when the cop told him to stay in the car and he felt, well, I better get out of the car so I can better use my weapon, that's not his testimony, that's the reason why he's guilty.
Right, okay. We're going to let California, we're going to let you answer this same question. In the Trayvon Martin case, is it a case where George Zimmerman is innocent because he stood his ground, or is he guilty of murder?
Truthfully, I personally believe he's guilty. Though I don't know. It seems like I'm not really that familiar with this stand your ground law. It seems like it's kind of a bastardization of the old castle laws where, you know, your home is your castle. I don't know if carrying a gun is legal or not. I know it isn't, you know, in states it's not here. I don't know if it is there, but it seems like it's kind of a hybrid of that law. But, you know, as the gentleman said before, once he start doing the opposite of what the officers told him to do, it should have been illegal. You know, whatever he's doing, you know, it should have been illegal. And, you know, and he has no right. You know, he's a citizen, you know, just like, you know, Trayvon Martin was a citizen. He had no right, like I said, he had no right to interject himself in this man's life. That's like me walking down the street and a regular white man asking me, what am I doing? I'm not going to say nothing, I'm going to keep it moving. Once he went past that boundary, even like I said, even if he thought something was going on, the police told him, stay in your car, you know, you don't need to follow this dude. You know, and you could tell when he was telling his story, he looked so shaky telling it. And, you know, like I say, I don't want to say I can tell if somebody's lying every time, but I could tell he was lying. You know,
right.
And it's like, you know, you could tell he didn't believe that himself. And, you know, this thing is blew up. Like I said, there's a lot of ugly sides that are coming out of it. You know, as a gun owner myself, I'm sad to say that, you know, we've had a lot of gun proponent people supporting this man, which, you know, is clearly hidden racism. And, you know, it's just, you know, situations like this, they bring up a lot of ugly. And, you know, like I say, hopefully justice is going to be served. But, you know, I mean, in Florida, like I said, you know, I went to school there, but in Florida, you never know, man.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to have a second segment here on Trayvon. Now, this segment, we are going to get into the racism part of this. And we are going to discuss things such as the fact that this man has been known, George Zimmerman, has been known in his life to be racist. It is documented. His friends say it. People that know him say that he is a racist. I mean, they don't call him a racist, but they say he has issues with racism. Now, America, some of you guys want to say, how can he be racist and he's Hispanic? No, 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 people, no. He is the son of a white man. Let me say that one more time. He is the son of a white man. His mother is Hispanic, but George Zimmerman does not see himself as Hispanic. He is the son of a rich white man, not just a white man, a rich white man who has always grown up in privilege and grown up segregated away from the other races. His father was a Supreme Court justice in the state of Virginia. He retired as a Supreme Court justice, which means he was a lawyer all his life, and then he became a judge, and then he became a circuit court judge, and then he became a Supreme Court judge, which means all of his life he has been rich and he has been in law enforcement. So George Zimmerman has never been one to be on that other side of the tracks, so to say. And he has been raised by a man, a white man, from who was born in the early 30s. A white man born in the early 30s who has become privileged. I'm going to leave it to your own imagination. But again, we're in the racism part of this segment. We know that he was born privileged. We know that he sees race, let's put it that way. Because if you're not racist, you don't even see color. You don't even see race. You don't even acknowledge it. We know for a fact George Zimmerman acknowledges race. Now, something else that I want us to listen to or think about is how George Zimmerman conducted himself after the whole hoopla of this whole thing started up. Before he was ever arrested, before he was ever really put in jail, before anything happened, George Zimmerman started up an account for all of those people who saw things like he sees things. And you know who I'm talking about. And you know what I'm talking about. This country is divided right now because you got a black man as president and you got a lot of people in this country that can't stand it. And he used that to his advantage. He set up this website and said, if you feel like what I did to that nigga is okay, send me some money. This was before he ever got arrested, ladies and gentlemen, ever got even put in jail. They sent him over $70,000 online. You tell me, America, how many of you can go online right now, set up an account and say, please, just send me your money? Didn't nobody know George Zimmerman? They didn't know him from a fly on the wall. But because they heard he was a white man that killed a black man and he was about to have to go to jail for it, all of a sudden money went flying into that man's account. $70,000. Now, California, do you think that $70,000 had anything to do with racism?
Yeah, most definitely. Like I say, one of the other things that I see, you know, it had to do with this trial because, you know, let me say this. You know, this past year I joined the NRA just because I wanted to see, you know, what their viewpoint of things were. And you get so flushed with stuff that's masked as defending your rights, but it's really racism masked as that. You know, I wrote them and told them, it's like, don't send me any more of this stuff because I just, you know, literally they flood your mailbox with this kind of stuff. And now it seems like in this country we got people that for some reason they're racist, but they just don't want to come out and say they're racist. So they'll use something like this George Zimmerman trial to mask, you know, to what they're wanting to do. And like I say, it's, you know, it's plain and simple. You know, if you have people – you know, like you say, $70,000, he had the thing set up even before he even knew he was going to go to jail. You know, and people, like I said, people want to look at this as, you know, defending his rights or whatever. Like I say, he violated rights. You know, this is, you had something similar, happen in the '80s where, Bernard Goetz in New York when he shot those black men on the subway. You know,
yeah.
and people try to rally around that as, being the underdog and the victim, but they weren't, they weren't a victim. They're the perpetrators.
Exactly.
The people that were shot were the victims, and it's kind of sad. Like I say, it puts me in a difficult position, as a gun owner and as an advocate of certain things, when I see this going on right before me,
Let me get Clearwater. All right, Clearwater, here's a question for you. Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman has $70,000 in an account before he's ever arrested. Is that $70,000 race and blood money? Talk to me, Clearwater. Keep it real.
You called it right on that. I'm plugging my phone in. You called it right on that. It's about racism. It was the Klan and the Aryan race type people making a statement, and that's pretty much it. I mean, it's so cut and dry. I mean, there's nothing much to say on that. I mean, that's pretty much what.
All right, I thank you for that comment. What we gonna do now is, we've covered gun control and we've covered Trayvon. We are going to take a quick break, and the last topic we're going to touch tonight is the retiring of the Pope. We are going to discuss the retiring of the Pope. We are going to get into some religion tonight. Oh, hallelujah. We'll be right back. Was put together by the Catholic Church. It took them 300 years after the death of Jesus Christ before the New Testament, the New Covenant, was added on to the original Bible, the original Torah, and it became the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, I'm not giving these specific facts, so all you holy rollers, don't hold it to me. I'm just giving some general understanding of how this works. So, at that time, you had three religions. You had the Jews, who only followed the Old Testament. You had the Muslims, who followed the Quran. And you had the Catholics, who followed the New Covenant, which is the New Testament. Then you had a young man named Martin Luther, who was a Catholic priest, who said, you know what? Some of this shit that they're doing in the Catholic Church just ain't seeming right to me. There's a whole lot of corruption going on, a whole lot of lies being told. And he decided, you know what? I am just going to stick to what the scripture says. I'm not going to go by all of these rules that the Catholic Church has set up, because these rules are set up to protect man, and these rules are set up to propel man, and our goal was supposed to be to carry out the word of God, the word of Jesus Christ. So I am going to protest the Catholic Church, and I am going to break away from the Catholic Church. I am going to start my own movement. And what the Catholics called Martin Luther was a Protestant. And all who followed Martin Luther was a Protestant. And that's how you got the Protestant Reformation, and that's how you got the Protestant religion. And then the Protestants broke themselves down into 50 million little sects. So that's the four main religions that we look at. But still, the Catholic Church was one of the top three. The Catholic Church has had over 500 popes. 500. And over the time that they've had over 500 popes, they have only had three popes to ever resign. One resigned because he wanted to keep the Catholic Church from falling into the hands of some country or something. There was some war going on, but he had a legitimate reason for resigning. It wasn't because he was tired. He resigned because he had to save the Catholic Church. And had he stayed in power, this country was going to overthrow the Vatican and destroy the Catholic religion, so he resigned. The second guy was only Pope for 45 days, and he resigned. There was some controversy about him becoming Pope, and he felt like he was not worthy to be Pope, so he resigned within 45 days. He was chosen, he took it, then he decided he wasn't worthy. So he gave it up because he felt like he wasn't worthy. Pope Benedict is only the third pope in history to resign from the Catholic Church. When you take this job, you know you are the prophet of God. You know you represent Peter, the disciple, and you know that it is a job that you take until the day you die, because every one of the other 500 popes who took it to the day you die. 8 years ago, Benedict took this job knowing it's a job that you keep to the day you die, yet today he says he wants to resign because he's feeling old. Really? I call bullshit. I think that what is going on with Pope Benedict and his resignation has something more to do than just with I feel old and I feel tired. No, that is bull. I do not believe the man is retiring because he feels old. I believe this man was part of that whole baby screwing scandal where these priests were touching those kids. He was putting it under the cover. They made him pope because he had saved them from all of the scandal, and he had done such a great job because he was in charge of it. He saved the Catholic Church, so they made him pope. They thought that would be the end of it, and then once he became pope, those people that had all these things happen against them wouldn't stop talking, wouldn't stop protesting, wouldn't stop suing, and cards started falling. And before you know it, it kept leading up and leading up, and now it's about to lead up to Cardinal Ratzinger, who is no longer Cardinal Ratzinger. He's the Pope. And you can't have the Pope in a scandal. Why? Because the Vatican is its own country. For those of you who don't know it, the Vatican is its own country. The Pope is like the president, or the Pope is like Queen Elizabeth. He's the king, he's the president, whatever you want to call him. He is the leader of the country that is the Vatican. So as much as you think he's only religious, no, he is very political, very political. But at the same time, the Catholic Church has never had a scandal where the head person could go to jail because you're supposed to be the man of God. What are you doing illegal? Because the Bible says you are supposed to obey man's law and God's law. And if you are about to go to jail, then you didn't hold up to the Bible. And if you're representing 50 million 150 million, a billion people on earth, come on. And you broke the law, what do you expect them to do? So I'm here to call out the Pope, and I'm here to call out the Catholic Church, and I'm here to say what the Pope is saying he is resigning for is bullcrap. If you agree with me, tell me. If you don't agree with me, call in and keep it real with me. The number is 347-237-5539. Again, 347-237-5539. California, tell me what you think's going on with the Pope.
Man, it's I don't like to play the conspiracy theorists with stuff like that, but something is definitely going on. You know, the Catholic Church. I'm a Christian. You know, I'm not Catholic, but I respect the Church for, you know, for what it is and what it should be. You know, when you get an organization like that with the ambitions of men, basically, you know, that's like I said. You know, like you said earlier, that's why Martin Luther, you know, started the Protestant Reformation in the first place. And you know, these guys, they get so much power. It's, you know, It's overwhelming. I mean, you know, if you look at the money behind the Catholic Church and the Vatican, you're talking, you know, billions. You know, and it's I don't know. It's I don't know if it has anything to do with the molestations or not, but you know, it's something's going on. You know, with the molestations, you know, his Pope. You know, there was already a lot of questions about him when he first started. You know, from him being a Hitler youth and a Nazi and all that. And you know, it's very questionable, especially at this time, you know, when things are so uncertain in the world. You know, you figure at least, you know, people would have, you know, at least, you know, they want to keep the Catholic Church, want to keep its stability. But, you know, now it's, you know, this is a major blow. I don't know.
What do you think Catholic people should be thinking right now? Should they just be blowing this off like the media is blowing it off and saying, oh, well, he's going to retire and that's okay, and let's just focus on who's going to be the new pope? They're just blowing this off like it ain't no big deal,
like it's nothing,
but a pope don't retire. Something's wrong.
Yeah, that's like I said, that's the cover-up. That's the, you know, like I said, that's the power of the Catholic Church reaching into the media to make a cover-up. Any other time, this will be on the front page, every story, every internet, you know, from now until it actually happens. You know, like
exactly.
You said, you know, this is the third time this is happening, you know, and the first time, I think it was 600 years, it has happened in 600 years.
Yes.
It's just, it's like I say, it's amazing. If I were Catholic, I wouldn't know what to think. My mind would literally be blown. You know, it's like each of us, you know, I consider myself a non-denominational Christian, and you know, I've seen, you know, pastors that, you know, I haven't been, you know, too sure of. You know, we all have, you know, that we think might be a shyster or something like that. But when you're talking about the head of your entire church, and you know, wavering, you know. And what his calling is, it's like, you know, that's super.
Exactly. Let me get to Florida. Florida, tell me what you think about the Pope resigning.
Well, I had one thought. Well, after I thought about it for about maybe 40, 50 seconds, and it all comes around that you talk about Catholicism. Now, my deeper research shows that Peter really was the foundation of the church, but the first church was actually the Orthodoxy. And the first Bible that was put together, where they had the Old and New Testament, was an Ethiopian Bible. It was written in a language called Geez, G-E-E-Z. Then later it went to Amharic and Greek and whatever. That's why. And the Catholic Church was a spinoff from the Orthodoxy. I said the Orthodoxy is all in the East. The Catholic Church went west. But as far as the Pope goes, my first thought was what my wife said when she was getting ready for work when they announced that. She said, and her quote was, yeah, he's probably messing around with some little boy's booty. And I pretty much concurred that he wanted to. Because, listen, man, how can you overlook this mass pedophilia thing that's been going on, and I really think, and my theory is that men who become Catholic priests are men who are homosexual, but they do not, and they have no use for women, but they
want
to live in sin.
Wow! Oh my goodness!
That's right. How can you give up coochie for all your life unless you gay?
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
What?
He is keeping it real, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
No, ain't it? You didn't tell me to call in. You didn't say call in and gloss over nothing. I don't think that. I mean, they're keeping it real.
Oh, I did. Go ahead, man. Keep it real.
That's why monks cut their stuff off. You see, just like you're reading the Bible about the Ethiopian eunuch. See, that's where the account of Jesus came to Ethiopia, because this guy was, he cut his stuff off. That's the only way you could do it. That's why the monks and all those people in those Eastern countries, they don't have that problem because their stuff. But how are you gonna have your stuff, you know? Come on, man. Cut them off and be a Catholic priest. People respect it. The Catholics, they give more than anybody in the world. Let me say this.
We saved the entertainment for last, did we not? Whoa.
The Bible says, Mr. Wiley, that charity has a multitude of sins. And the Catholics give more than all the Christian organizations put together. So that is why I don't judge it. They're good people. They have this weakness. For some reason, this thing has come, you know. But overall, the Catholics do more giving and more charity than anybody on planet Earth. So, you know, you call it what you will, but like my wife said, he wants to go find him a little boy or something, because he just can't take it no more.
Oh, my goodness.
She's the one who has weapons of mass destruction. Just right off, just hearing the first tip of the news, they just flaming a sand nigger.
Oh, hold on. Wait, Florida. You are keeping it real to the point of where you are burning my eyebrows. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Anyway, so what we're going to do here is take a break. break for a minute, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to wrap up the Pope and wrap up the show.
Evidence might be in his favor when you look at it. You know?
I tell you what.
I mean, it's tough. You know, like I say, with this Pope resigning, you know, like I say, it was a lot of questions about him. You know, this was a dude, you know, he grew up a Nazi. I mean, I don't know, you know, like I say, that had me questioning him already. I mean, I don't know, you know, yeah, you know, you can, you know, I believe in redemption, you can reform, but, you know, like I say, you know, for the Pope, you know, the Catholic Church has already had problems with anti-Semitism already. You know, it just, you know, it didn't, you know, it really didn't, you know, didn't really sit right with me. You know, and now with this retirement, you know, I mean, it's like I say, big question marks right now. It's, you know, you never thought, you know, like I said, the Catholic Church or something, you never, you know, the foundation, you know, like you said, the foundation goes, you know, all the way back, you know, and it's, you never, but now, you know, it's shaky, you know, it's shaky now as it was when what's that movie came out? Da Vinci Code first came out and everybody started questioning. So,
yep.
You know, right now it's not a good time for them right now. And, you know, but like I say, love the show. A lot of hard hits. I'm going to be listening from now on. So peace out, brother.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Now, we get back to our Keeping It Real respondent from Florida. Florida, I want you to take this opportunity, please. And I want you to tell us how you feel one last time with a wrap-up on the Pope situation, and tell me what you think about the Keeping It Real with Tony Whatley show.
Okay. I think it's a brilliant concept. It's brilliantly organized, and it's fantastic. It's a lot better than that show I used to listen to called The Jones Forum. But here's the thing about the Pope. What this NFL running back, this kid, he was a rookie. He came and he said the NFL asked him how he felt about women, asked him if he was gay. So I think that from now on, what the Catholic Church should do when they screen their priests, they should ask them, are you gay? And make them put their hand on the Bible. And if they say yes, or if they hesitate,
keep it real,
or they,
Florida. Keep it real. Keep it real.
Get a guy, or let them get married. But you can't trust that, because a lot of married men be doing that too. So I say either cut the balls off and do like the real priests, what they call monks over in the East, like in India and all them places where they do sitting, they can levitate and all that stuff. Either keep it real and keep that testosterone up there for women. And if you're gonna be a Catholic priest, be a man.
Oh, all right. Thank you very much, Florida. Now, we have heard some amazing statements, comments, and some very, very straightforward and blunt comments and commentary on gun control, Trayvon Martin, and the Pope retirement. Straightforward, no holds barred, everything you want to say, you can say. That is Keeping It Real with Tony Whatley. I hope you were listening this time and wanted to get a feel of it. And the next show we have next week, 8:30 to 10:30 on Thursday night. I want you to chime in. Call your friends. Tell your friends, have them call in, and let's all keep it real. Let's all have a good time. What I want you to do now is go on to Keeping It Real with Tony Whatley on Facebook and tell me what you thought about the show. Go on to my Keeping It Real spot. Tell me what you think about the show, and come see me next week from 8:30 to 10:30 on Keeping It Real with Tony Whatley. Last and not least, I want to again thank Blog Talk Radio for the time, and I want to thank the Mathis and Raymond Show for allowing me the ability to be part of their organization. Come back next week, visit me, and let's all keep it real.